8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy. Text your calls, 970-242-1340. Something you want to complain about today. Something that's just annoying you. We'd love to hear from you. I mentioned I'm tired of hearing about Aaron Rodgers. We'll play some Aaron Rodgers coming up in just a moment. I know. Come on, Pyle. Bring it on. That's okay. It's all right. I'm just tired of hearing from Aaron Rodgers. But then again, we're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show coming up in just a few minutes. We have to talk about him. As much as I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers, we have to talk about him. We're duty-bound. We're committed to doing this. We have to do it. We don't have a choice. Because with what happened against the Niners, not getting to the NFC Championship game, not getting to the Super Bowl, because it was pretty much Rodgers that was kind of Super Bowl or bust, right? In regard to the feeling for Rodgers about, love the guys we have here, it's the most fun I've ever had, and anything less than a Super Bowl is going to be disappointing. Well, he's disappointed because he played like garbage. No, he didn't play garbage. He didn't play great. He didn't play Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Fame, MVP caliber football against the Niners. He played okay. He had a good Drew Lock game. Right? 225? It's like a Drew Lock kind of game?
Yeah, except he was 20 of 29 and didn't throw an interception.
That's true.
So Drew would be like 20 of 39
right,
and a pick in there.
Yardage-wise,
yeah,
it was a Drew Lock kind of game. It'd be a good Drew Lock game at 225.
It was a Teddy Bridgewater game.
It was kind of a TB5 kind of game. It was. I agree. And so here we are now with Aaron Rodgers, uncertain what his future is. And so let's just go ahead and jump into it. Okay, let's
do it.
Hop into the deep end. Pat McAfee yesterday, Aaron Rodgers, kind of, sort of talking about how he's going to decide whether it's staying Green Bay, demand a trade, or retire. Here's Aaron Rodgers, courtesy of the Pat McAfee Show.
Some of the factors are the, you know, direction of the team and the organization and how I feel like I fit in the future mentally. You know, do I still have the passion, the competitiveness, and desire to keep playing? And I think it's a feeling that you just kind of know once you feel the off season has started. You know, when you're a competitive, hyper-competitive individual, you also probably dream or think about what the fairy tale ending is. And it doesn't mean Super Bowl necessarily, but that's really? A pretty damn good fairy tale. You know, not many people have been able to walk off like that. I mean, Peyton did, and John Elway did, but not many people have been able to do that.
Dude, Broncos
so
quarterback.
It comes down to more just how you're feeling. Can you still play? Do you still have the same commitment and enjoyment with the game? And do you want to sign up for the grind again? And I think the only way of knowing that is to probably get away from it for a little bit, let your mind clear, and then think about it, you know, and think about the enormity of the task and what would bring you the most enjoyment.
What the hell did you just say?
Okay, a lot to unpack there.
You mentioned two Broncos quarterbacks. He wants to come to Denver.
So
you can hear it now.
Let's start with the first part before we jump into that. If they would have got to the Super Bowl in the Super Bowl, he would have been done? Because that's kind of what he said there, right? If the Packers would have got there and won, that'd be a nice way to, I'm paraphrasing, right off into the sunset. Kind of like what Elway did. Like what Manning did.
I think it would have made the decision to come back a lot harder.
Right.
You know, I don't think he said there that he was done if they won. I think he said that, you know, guys have the way they want to leave, and it's after the Super Bowl, but not a lot of people get to do that. Yeah, that's to me what he said, is that would make it, it'd make it much harder to make the decision if he had won the Super Bowl, right, he could walk out that way.
Right, that here's my opportunity. I'll have my second Super Bowl. I've climbed the mountain again. I've led the Packers to another Super Bowl. We win. I'm done. And before you get carried away, oh, he mentioned Peyton. He mentioned John.
He wants to be a Bronco. He's coming to Denver.
Wait a minute. Think back, though, of quarterbacks, Hall of Fame quarterbacks, that the Super Bowl was the finale for them in recent years.
Yeah.
It would be those two guys, right? I mean,
and he doesn't fit the mold. He wasn't drafted by the Colts.
It's true. Well, but I'm saying, though, in that Hall of Fame
the
quarterback.
The Broncos mold is what
or just any quarterback, Hall of Fame caliber, you know, Hall of Fame career. It ends in the Super Bowl, a win, and you're done. We haven't had that because you've had Patrick Mahomes win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they were close to retiring. Brady could, but it wouldn't be a Super Bowl and done kind of thing. I mean, you think back to the ones that have won Super Bowls. There's Elway and Manning are the last two guys that Hall of Fame caliber career, first ballot Hall of Fame guys, that was their last game. So, of course, he's going to mention those two.
I think those are the only two.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, I can't.
I don't know if
Bradshaw
anybody.
Didn't.
I don't think Bradshaw walked away after the fourth Super Bowl.
Yeah. Marino only got there one time and lost. Montana did not get there when he was with the Chiefs.
Yeah, Terry Bradshaw played all the way to 83.
Yeah, and didn't get there again. And
yeah. I mean, Bart Starr, maybe, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know if Bart Starr did.
No, he played till 71. So.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be him. And so, yeah, I mean.
So not only are those the most two recent, those are the last, the only two.
The only two, and they just both happen to have done it in the uniform of the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you can put too much stock into, oh, see.
He's going to be a Bronco.
Say, look,
he wants to come to Denver.
History
that was his smoke
is
signal.
What he's talking about there. Not necessarily that franchise.
Come on now. You know how that's
going to
play,
you know that,
Twitter.
Oh, they were.
He wants to come to Denver.
You know, exactly. He mentioned John and Peyton.
He's going to be a Bronco. We're going to win the Super Bowl. He may want to come to grips with the fact that he's not going to get to retire after a Super Bowl win. Because he's not shown the ability to get back there.
No. And once again, another failure in the playoffs, another loss to the 49ers. Rodgers also said, the one thing I would not do is retire and then come back a year later. I don't have any desire to do that. That makes no sense. He also talked about how he's worked on improving the relationship with Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers. They've spent some time talking and working through their
couples
issues.
Couples counseling, nice.
Exactly. They've gone to some couples counseling. Yeah. Aaron,
yep.
Express
nice
to me your feelings.
Why strip mall just outside of downtown Green Bay.
Exactly. What does Brian do that upsets you, Brian? What does Aaron do that causes you to be anxious or upset?
Once you get done, you can go next door for Buck Scoop Chinese.
Why Delicious. Not? Yeah, Buck Scoop.
Yeah.
Little
talk it over lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
Over
so
lunch,
you can continue to do the work,
Make
put the work
out.
In. Yeah, after you have the session, you go to Buck a Scoop. You get keep getting the work in. Keep working on a relationship.
Keep going down and get an adjustment to chiropractor. You can do this all day. Spend the entire day.
I do love, though, the when you're a hyper-competitive individual.
Yeah.
Love me some self-glossing there. Nobody's more competitive than me. I'm a hyper-competitive individual.
Not that he needed to, but you know what that tells me? He's a jerk.
He's kind of a jerk. Not that we needed that line to let us know that Aaron Rodgers is kind of a jerk.
The fastest gas pumper in the family. Okay, buddy. You do you.
Nobody gets the trash to the curb on trash day quicker than this guy. Hyper-competitive individual.
I can haul the can across the street on one wheel. Good for you there, pal.
There's that about him.
Yeah.
That, if you haven't noticed, I'm a pretty competitive guy.
Right.
And like, those guys always just crack me up.
I'm competitive. I like to win, and I'm a very sore winner. But I'm a gracious loser, and I don't feel that is hyper-competitive. If I lose, I lose. That's fine. You know, but I'm not like, hyper competitive.
I don't like to lose.
Yeah.
I've tried to become a better loser throughout the course of my life.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't always been great, I'll be honest.
I'm a very gracious loser. I am a very poor winner.
You're
though.
A terrible winner. You're an annoying winner, yeah. To be quite honest.
I know. It was told to me by our colleague over on Moose, Nikki, who's a Steelers fan. She's like, I wanted the Steelers to beat the Browns because I'm a Steelers fan, but mainly more so because you're such a terrible winner.
Right there with her on that. Totally
Not
agree
that
with her.
Not that her team won. It's that my right. team didn't. That's what it is.
All right. Jim and the Buckeye Boy today. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Well, kind of carrying over yesterday's question about Dan Quinn, Nathaniel Hackett, mm-hmm. and Kevin O'Connell. Which of the three would you like to see be the Broncos' next head coach? Which one do you think it will be? You said Dan Quinn on both.
Yeah.
I said Nathaniel Hackett and Dan Quinn. I think it'll be Dan Quinn, but we got something coming up here in a moment that may have an impact on that.
I've been scouring Broncos Country Twitter, and I'm very upset I don't have the Sean Payton and Aaron Rodgers Super Bowl 57 champions tweet.
Gonna bring them together.
I'm
get
upset
those
about that.
Two guys together.
I'm still looking though. So,
all right, we have our Payton, not the sheriff, not PFM, but our intern guy Payton, who's back from his little holiday from college.
Yeah. He's not the sheriff. He's the civilian volunteer.
He's our Barney Fife. He's our he's Deputy Payton, not Sheriff Payton.
We don't let him carry a loaded microphone.
Not yet. No. It's still got the training wheels on it, by the way. Safety is still on. So, you're a Broncos fan.
Yep.
Who do you want to be the Broncos' next head coach?
I've been talking a lot about this with some of my friends, and I mean, I'm with Buckeye, with Dan Quinn. I am. And then I think, and I mean, and if we're doing like both, I think it is going to be Dan Quinn as well. I'd like to see him, and I think it is going to be him. I don't know. Yeah, there's just, you know, with all the interviews and all that, but I think Dan Quinn's going to, I mean, I want to see it. I don't know why. I don't necessarily know why, but I do.
Well, here's something that may alter that. According to reports, Dan Quinn, whom many people feel, you guys, and I think it will be Dan Quinn as well, he has a second interview with the Bears today. Bears announced they hired Ryan Poles as their new general manager. And now his first interview is with Dan Quinn. And this will be Quinn's second interview with the Bears, by the way. And so this could be a situation that Jim Caldwell apparently has an interview with the Bears also. If you're the Bears, who do you take, Caldwell or Quinn? I think I take Jim Caldwell, to be quite honest. We talked about what he did in Detroit, how he should not have lost his job in Detroit. They were 9-7 and they canned him. 9-7 is like a 13-win season in Detroit.
Yeah.
How do you fire him when he's 9-7? I think Jim Caldwell, and maybe that will be the thing that keeps Dan Quinn from going to Chicago, as they hire Jim Caldwell.
In four seasons, he was 8 games over .500 with a 7-9
in Detroit. How do you fire him?
He was 10 games over .500 in three of the seasons, and then the 7-9. Also has taken a team to a Super Bowl. Lost, thanks to Sean Payton, onside kick. He took the Colts to the Super Bowl. I mean, how do you...
I just think that he would be
Ford family wants that one back?
Uh-oh.
I mean, I like Dan Campbell as much as the next person.
But
more so
Dan
than the
Campbell,
next person. But.
Yeah, and I've learned... to like Dan Campbell a lot. Initially, thought, what a meathead idiot.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, okay.
But that's exactly who he is, and he makes no bones about it.
And I've learned that's who he truly is, yeah. And I'm okay with that. And so with the Jim Caldwell situation, maybe that keeps Dan Quinn from getting hired by the Bears. Maybe. But now that New Orleans is in the mix, you got another team out there still. Now we'll be on the search for a head coach. Got the Vikings, who haven't hired anybody yet. The Bears could be on the cusp of hiring somebody soon. Mm-hmm. Denver's down to their final three candidates. Dolphins still looking for a coach. Giants still looking for a coach, though they've got their GM situation kind of like the Bears. They've got that taken care of.
Yeah.
which is a step in the right direction.
I think the Vikings do as well. They hired the Browns assistant GM, whose name is escaping me right now.
And
the hyphenator guy.
And so you have, and the Raiders still looking for whether it's going to be Rich Bisacci that's going to stay there as the head coach, or
Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah from the Browns is the favorite, according to the four.
But not official.
Not official.
Now, I saw this on Mile High Report, that the Schultz report, sources, Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams would love to team up with the Broncos. And the Nathaniel Hackett's very likely the next Broncos head coach from the Schultz report. Good relationship with Rodgers and Adams, and don't forget Denver's abundance of cap space. Okay. But what happens if the Packers put the franchise tag on Davante Adams, which is entirely possible and a very likely scenario? Schultz report, what do you do there? They slap the franchise tag on him. He's not going anywhere.
What sources?
Where are these sources? I love this. Sources.
How does the dude from Mile High Report have sources inside Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams?
Well, this is a tweet from Jordan Schultz, the Schultz Report.
Oh, okay.
That they are sharing on their website.
Well, how does Jordan Schultz have a source inside the two dudes' relationship? That's my question. Is it, hey, Aaron Rodgers likes Davante Adams? Aaron Rodgers name dropped two Broncos quarterbacks of Pat McAfee. Oh. They would love to team up in Denver.
It's all coming together.
Yeah.
Follow the breadcrumbs, people.
Right. He flipped over two tarot cards. Like, oh, look at this. Jupiter has moved 1 mile to the left. And
uh-oh.
These two guys want to team up for the Broncos.
And
okay.
And your head's up Uranus.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Pluto is back to being a planet.
Also, another thing that has an impact on the Broncos is the decision of Tom Brady. And you're thinking, okay, well, how does that really impact the Broncos? Because they could be looking for a quarterback. Denver's looking for a coach. They're also looking for a quarterback, too.
Mm-hmm.
And if Brady decides to retire, which seems to be kind of leaning that way right now, that when Brady did his Let's Go podcast, he said he doesn't want a Derek Jeter-style farewell tour because Brady said it would be a distraction. If he comes back, it'll be a major distraction because people are going to make the assumption that 2022 will be the last year. That as much discussion as he's had about retiring this time around, if he comes mm-hmm. back, then it's going to be over with. It's going to be 2022. And so there'll be that somewhat of a Derek Jeter-style farewell tour that he'd probably be walking into. And if he doesn't want that, the only way he avoids that is not playing in 2022, which means Denver will be competing with, like many teams, and now Tampa Bay for whether it's a Russell Wilson trade, a Rodgers deal, mm-hmm. drafting a quarterback. Of course, Denver is ninth. They're higher up in the draft than the Buccaneers. Buccaneers could make a move, though, and potentially move up, but so could Denver with all their picks that they have and at their disposal. If they don't get one of the quarterbacks that everybody says they're going to get, Rodgers or Wilson, that it's another kind of like the Saints deal with looking for a coach. Now there's another team out there contending for maybe one of the guys that you want to hire. We haven't heard if Dan Quinn's going to interview with the Saints or Nathaniel Hackett or Kevin O'Connell. We haven't heard that yet. But they could now be in competition like everybody else is right now. And now you got another team that's looking for a QB. So, chances are, we'll go around the room here. Does Brady play this coming season, Buckeye?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Deputy Peyton. We won't call you that. We'll leave that alone.
I think he's going to hang him up. I think he's going to hang him up this season.
Everything he keeps saying sounds like that, right? Mm-hmm.
But Tommy's also against the grain guy a little.
He's a little bit like Aaron Rodgers in that he likes to create a little bit of chaos, a little bit of uncertainty. I tend to think he's going to retire. I do. But I say it reluctantly. I don't say it's not a hard yes. I think it's kind of leaning that direction. I would say if you're putting feet to the fire right now, I'll say Brady's going to retire. All right, coming up next, we'll get the latest on the Broncos coaching search. This Schultz report thing, because Cody Rourke's going to be able to, I know, either back some of this stuff up or Cody's going to say this is absolute hogwash. Rodgers and Devontae Adams, they want to come to Denver because they know it's going to be Nathaniel Hackett that's going to be the next head coach. We'll talk with
Sources
Cody Cummins.
Close to the gardener, tell me.
Sources close to
Devontae Adams.
A friend of my cousin.
High altitude gardening.
A source close to a friend of my cousin who works for Grubhub that delivered some food to Devontae Adams' sister's house says
it was buffalo wings, Colorado buffaloes. He's going to Denver.
Broncos country, welcome him in. Yeah. All right, 8:21. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Cody Rourke joins us next. Text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Your chance to win a bottle of wine today from Talon Wine. It's a Wine About It Wednesday.
Yeah. At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Locked On Broncos host Cody Rourke.
Here we go!
On The Jim Davis Show on The Team.
He's the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. You can find that where you get your favorite podcasts. Also works for the Pro Football Network. Cody Rourke joins us. Cody, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well, Cody. All right, let's start out with this thing that was shared on Mile High Report from the Schultz Report from Jordan Schultz. Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams would love to team up with the Broncos. The icing on the cake, Nathaniel Hackett is very likely the next Broncos head coach. He has a good relationship with both Rodgers and Adams. Plus, don't forget the abundance of cap space. So, give us your impression of this. Is this just somebody that's been imbibing in too much of our legal product in the state? Or is there any kind of truth to this thing from Jordan Schultz, the Schultz Report?
Yeah, you know, right now I don't think there's much truth to it. You know, Aaron Rodgers hasn't even told people close to him what his plan is yet. His plan was to take this week and even next week, maybe just take a step away from any kind of media appearances, go back, think about things, and he's going to meet with Packers management. One of the things that he mentioned on the Pat McAfee show yesterday that kind of stood out to me in a big way, he wants to see what's going to happen with Devontae Adams' contract because, you know, there's an important time coming up where the team could franchise tag him, and from the sound of it, he didn't make it seem like he, you know, obviously he's not a fan of the franchise tag. Devontae's not a fan of the franchise tag. They want, you know, I think if Aaron Rodgers is going to come back to Green Bay, he wants Green Bay to work out a contract extension with Adams, and he would probably look at coming back in that regard there, probably restructure his contract a little bit to be able to make that happen. Outside of that, in terms of Adams and Rodgers to Denver, I just think that based on the appearance we saw from him on the Pat McAfee show, what he mentioned, he mentioned something about, you know, how cool would it be to, you know, have a fairy tale like ending. He mentioned not many people have been able to do it except, you know, guys like Peyton Manning, John Elway. I think that's just people trying to connect the dots there. As of right now, I don't think that Devontae Adams is in the plan for the Denver Broncos. However, if they do look at picking up the phone and calling the Packers to inquire about Rodgers, the Packers may include Devontae Adams in that package. To help offset some of that cap hit that they'll have to take there with his contract. So that would be the only way I can see it happening.
Cody Rourke, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast with us on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Let's get back to reality. We know that there are three candidates for the Broncos head coaching job. Dan Quinn, the still current Cowboys defensive coordinator. Nathaniel Hackett, Packers offensive coordinator, who had his second interview with the Broncos on Monday. And Kevin O'Connell, L.A. Rams offensive coordinator. A little tougher to work with O'Connell's schedule because the Rams are playing the Niners in Sunday's NFC Championship game. But Dan Quinn also has a second interview with the Chicago Bears. Your takeaway on that, is there the possibility, in your opinion, that maybe the Bears end up poaching Dan Quinn, who many people feel like is the number one candidate for this job?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a strong chance. I think it really depends on how Chicago sells him. Obviously, they have their new general manager in place, and Ryan Poles now coming over as the assistant director of player personnel with the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, I think a lot of it, you look at the situation that Chicago's in. I mean, it's pretty appealing, I think, for a guy like Dan Quinn. Look, you have a young quarterback in Justin Fields. You don't necessarily have to worry about trying to go into the offseason, trying to figure out, hey, who's the quarterback going to be? It's kind of a situation that Denver's in right now. You know, and you manufacture the defense that they still have. They still have a pretty solid defense down there in Chicago. They can get a couple pieces as well. Obviously, you have to work on building the offensive line this offseason. You know, I think Chicago could be a very appealing place for Dan Quinn. Now, he's had a very busy schedule of interviews. He's interviewed with the Giants. He's interviewed here. Obviously, he's going to be doing that today with the Chicago Bears. And everyone's wondering, what about the Denver Broncos? Well, the Broncos announced that they would be having a second interview with Dan Quinn on Sunday. However, because of the fact he already interviews lined up, they have yet to iron out a date on that. So there is a real chance, Jim, that Dan Quinn could potentially leave Chicago today and say, hey, you know what? I feel like this is probably going to be the better fit for me. He'll call up George Payton and say, hey, George, thank you for the courtesy. I decided I'm going to take the Chicago Bears job. I appreciate you interviewing me. And then it would be down to Nathaniel Hackett and Kevin O'Connell, which I think at that point the Broncos would wait. I mean, I think there's a little bit more pressure. If Dan Quinn's the guy, there's pressure because there's other teams that want him right now. Nathaniel Hackett has interviewed, I believe, with the Jacksonville Jaguars at this point. Outside of that, he doesn't have any current interviews lined up. So, you know, he spent 8 hours in Denver the other day. They went and they got tamales and margaritas before sending him off to back to Green Bay. Obviously, there's the airport watch, something we love social media for these days. But I think that they're going to wait and see after this weekend. They can interview Kevin O'Connell after Sunday. So they may just wait and play it out. So if Dan Quinn takes a job, you know, it's between those two guys. I honestly feel like Kevin O'Connell could be the underrated guy that many people aren't keeping an eye on. I feel like he could be the next guy.
What do you like about Kevin O'Connell?
Well, the thing about Kevin is, you know, he's a young, offensive-minded guy, right? And I think that's what Broncos country wants. And here's the thing. Even though he doesn't necessarily call the plays every single play here for the Los Angeles Rams offense as their offensive coordinator, he is very, very responsible and in tune with Sean McVay in the day-to-day, the operation of the offense, being able to get all the personnel packages aligned, understanding the system, understanding the play calls. Like, he understands that very well. And last year, when Brandon Staley took the Los Angeles Chargers head coaching job, he tried to poach him and tried to get him to come over to L.A. So Sean McVay had blocked that from happening. Sean McVay really values what he's able to do. And obviously, the work he was able to do with Jared Goff in his time there, I think, is something you can always kind of look back on and say, hey, you know, that's pretty impressive. And obviously, what he's able to do with Matthew Stafford, being able to get Matthew Stafford caught up on the offensive scheme. Everyone's like, oh, it's all Sean McVay. Sean McVay's focus is leading the entire team. While he does call the offense, the person who's responsible for that is Kevin O'Connell. And he's very highly regarded. Especially out of all the candidates that have been interviewed, he's the one that's obviously a finalist out of everybody. So he is that, I don't want to say the next Sean McVay, but there's a feeling he could be like the next Sean McVay.
Cody Rourke joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Could you see a scenario where they go, okay, we have some concerns about Kevin O'Connell. Hackett's maybe not the guy we want. That they do try to bring somebody else in, like a Peterson, a Brian Flores, that maybe they expand this search, or is it going to be one of these three guys, and that's it, end of discussion?
As of right now, the plan is that one of these next three guys, these finalists, are going to be the guy. Now, obviously, we know stranger things have happened in the NFL. Things fall apart. You know, they'll continue on. They'll maybe look at bringing the guys like Jim Caldwell, or as you mentioned, like a guy like Doug Peterson. And they may even look at Brian Callahan again. Obviously, he's still in the playoffs right now, coaching his team against the Kansas City Chiefs here this Sunday in the AFC Championship game. But the plan right now, preliminary, is that these are the three finalists, and one of them will be the next head coach for the Broncos.
New Orleans Saints also looking for a head coach after Sean Payton announced that he's retiring. I certainly see him coming back in a couple of years. Still has 2 years left on his contract. So while the Broncos have a big head start over the Saints, here's another team, though, that is looking for a coach, just like Denver is, and many others still are, have yet to fill their vacancies, and a team that's going to be looking for a quarterback, because I can't imagine that Jameis Winston, who I think was just on a one-year deal, or Taysom Hill, that's the answer for New Orleans. And that's going to obviously rev up once again the Russell Wilson to New Orleans talk, likewise to Denver as well. I mean, New Orleans doesn't play a big, big role in this. Like, they're a little bit late to the game. But they could have some maybe potential ripple effect in the Broncos coaching search and their quarterback search as well.
I think right now the New Orleans Saints job is probably the most unappealing destination out of all the available coaching vacancies right now. And a big reason Sean Payton had gotten out, I mean, everyone's equating it to the fact that, look, you don't have a quarterback. You're going to be at least negative $60 million under the cap, over the cap. So that's not going to be a good situation to be in. You just signed Taysom Hill to a brand-new extension. You have a wide receiver, nice. Michael Thomas, who hasn't played football in a year, who has a massive contract. You have Alvin Kamara on a contract. You have some defensive studs there. So really the appeal for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, even Russell Wilson, to go to New Orleans is kind of out the window at this point because they wouldn't be able to afford it. They would have to completely rebuild their entire team. And I think that's where New Orleans is headed. They're headed towards a complete rebuild. So you can imagine that maybe some of their top players will be available for trade just so they can help offset some of the salary cap issues that they are running into. Ryan Ramczyk at right tackle. Maybe George Payton calls and says, hey, you know, we want some solidarity at right tackle. Or, you know, you take a look at some of the other weapons that they may have, maybe a defense, maybe an edge rusher, maybe a Cam Jordan. I mean, you can look at all these different options, but they are headed towards a rebuild. And this was kind of expected after the, kind of the downhill spiral for them this season. And obviously the long-term aspects at quarterback or something that are going to make it very difficult for anybody to want to go there. So look at Dennis Allen maybe as being one of the guys that's going to step up and take over in-house. They also have some other candidates that they're looking to interview as well. But I imagine Dennis Allen will probably be the guy.
In 2 years, fact or fiction, Sean Payton's the coach of the Cowboys.
Maybe even next year, Jim. You know, and the reason I say that is, you know, even though he's still under contract under 2 years, he's retiring, he's trying to step away. The Dallas Cowboys, if they really, really wanted him, right, because Mike McCarthy more than likely is going to be back at this point. You know, they're probably going to lose Dan Quinn. They're going to have Kellen Moore there. Kellen Moore's not ready to be a head coach amongst league circles, and that's the talk and the vibe going around there. But you look at Sean Payton. I mean, if they fired Mike McCarthy, they would have to trade draft capital in order to get Sean Payton out of his contract with the New Orleans Saints. So I imagine Jerry Jones, if desperate enough, I think he'd do that. It's going to be a wild offseason, though. It's going to be wild, Jim. I don't even know how things are going to go, but there's so many things happening right now, and it's just we're not even at the Super Bowl yet.
I know. And so let's get your thoughts about the championship weekend. Bengals, Kansas City. You, of course, have the Niners taking on the Rams, the two NFC West rivals going at it for a spot in the Super Bowl. Let's start with your take on the Chiefs and the Bengals. I love the Bengals story. I like what Joe Burrow's been able to do. I love the moxie. I just really like Joe Burrow a lot, and just the way he has that swagger and that belief in himself, and doesn't hurt when you have Ja'Marr Chase to throw the football to and all those weapons they have. But can they get past Kansas City at Arrowhead? I just think that's a tall order. I think that this team isn't they have made an incredible run of the playoffs, but I think it comes to an end against the Chiefs coming up on Sunday.
I think maybe the Bengals are going to be a year away, Jim. You know, and I look at where they're at, what they've been able to do, you know, what they've been able to accomplish. Joe Burrow, obviously, I think a comeback player of the year. You can make a case for offensive player of the year. He's been spectacular for them. But Kansas City right now, they're playing their best football, Jim, and we saw that on Sunday. I mean, I thought that game right there was one of the best games that we've seen in years. And from a rating standpoint, it absolutely blew everything out of the water. Kansas City right now, look, I think if Cincinnati's going to have a chance to beat KC on the road, Patrick Mahomes is going to have to make some mistakes, which, you know, that's a hard thing to try to bank on, is that he's going to make some mistakes there. And for the offensive line for Cincinnati, they're going to have to protect Joe Burrow. I mean, 9 sacks surrendered against the Tennessee Titans. You can't do that in the AFC Championship game. You can't do that against the Kansas City Chiefs that will send a lot of pressure after him. Now, the hope is that they can get Tyrann Mathieu off of concussion protocol this week, but that remains to be seen right now. Maybe they can get Orlando Brown back at the tackle position on the left side. But for, you know, I think Joe Burrow and the Bengals, they're going to have to find a way to capitalize on explosive play, similar to how they did when they faced off just several weeks ago in Cincinnati at Paul Brown Stadium. I think this could be an entertaining game, but, you know, my money's on the Kansas City Chiefs right now. They just look too well-oiled. And I think that's something to keep an eye on.
And then to the NFC Championship game, where you have San Francisco, and you look at the Niners, and you go, how are they in the NFC Championship game with the way Jimmy Garoppolo has played? It's because they've had a lot of other weapons. Debo Samuel, their defense has played great. Their running game has been solid. And Debo Samuel, in the two meetings, which the Niners swept during the season, by the way, they did not have an answer for him, the Rams defense. And likewise, the Niners didn't have much of an answer for Cooper Kupp. And Matthew Stafford also didn't play particularly well in either one of those games. Give me your take on Niners-Rams coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, this one is kind of hard to figure out where it's going to go, right? Because you mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, obviously the big victory over the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field, the shocker. I mean, everyone was shocked that happened there. But, you know, I guess the Los Angeles Rams right now, they're looking really good. I think for Matthew Stafford, that pressure of getting that first playoff win against the Arizona Cardinals is off his back. He comes back and plays a terrific game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their defense. I think they're just really, really hot right now, Jim. Outside of that, though, San Francisco, as you mentioned, the weapon, Deebo Samuel. Now, he's going to be limited in practice this week. He took a helmet to the quad and the knee areas, got dealing with a little bit of a bone bruise, and, you know, one of those hematomas there. He should be fine to play. The big question is going to be Trent Williams and his ankle, left tackle for them. He's been fantastic for them since coming over from Washington. You got to really keep an eye on that. If he's out, I think that it bodes well to the favor of guys like Von Miller, who looks unbelievable as a Los Angeles Ram. He's getting more opportunities. You know, and I think that's really what we didn't get to see in Denver in the last couple of years. You know, for Von Miller, there was nobody really opposite of him that could command a double team, command that attention. And now he's getting a lot more one-on-one opportunities because of guys like Leonard Floyd and Aaron Donald on the interior. I mean, it's fun to watch, and Von is in playoff mode right now. I don't think Jimmy G is going to have a fun game. And I think that because of the pressure those guys are going to create, you're going to see several takeaways by that Rams defense, and it's going to be up to the offense to capitalize and maybe go a little bit with Sony Michel, a little bit more than Cam Akers this week. You know, two fumbles came at, you know, uncostly times for them and almost cost them the game, but yeah, this is going to be a fun game. I think championship week, and we're going to see the best of the best. And obviously in the Final Four, that's exactly what we get. And hopefully the games are just as entertaining as last week.
Rams-Chiefs? SoFi?
Yep, that's my prediction. And, you know, Jim, I'll be there for the Super Bowl all week long at Radio Row. So, you know, whatever I can try to get, I'll be happy to provide to you as well. So, oh,
fantastic. Well, Cody, I appreciate it. Make sure you check out his podcast. If you're a Broncos fan, it's a must-watch, must-listen to. Locked On Broncos with Cody Rourke. Find that where you get your favorite podcast. Cody, always appreciate it. We'll grab you next week.
Appreciate you, Jim. Go Tigers.
All right. Cody Rourke. Well, go Tigers. Wrap things up. All right, 840. Connor McGahee joining us in just a moment. And let's go ahead and quickly jump into four down territory.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Okay, a little hurry up offense here. First down, according to Aaron Wilson of Pro Football Network, which Cody also works for, Steelers receiver Juju Smith-Schuster is hoping to join Kansas City as a free agent and has expressed that desire. That Wilson says that Smith-Schuster nearly signed with the Chiefs last season after they offered him a one-year, $8 million deal with $3 million incentives. Instead, Schuster stayed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. How about that? More toys for Patrick Mahomes to play with.
If they want him.
if they want him, we'll see. Also, Andrew Marchand, who covers sports media, says that ESPN is working very hard to bring in Al Michaels to be the voice of Monday Night Football next season.
Legendary voice? Can buy that, yeah. Yeah. I mean, legendary voice of Monday Night Football.
Brands you know, brands you trust, and Al Michaels, been there before.
Yeah. I know you mentioned it in the guise of the franchise, but Nikola Jokic is the only player in NBA history with 5,000 rebounds and 3,000 assists in his first 500 games. And he did that last night in Detroit. Very good start to the career. It's still start, right? Up until right, like the last five games, it's a good start. Like, you know, the Rockies, or not the Rockies, but a good baseball team. They have a good start, and it's like the last weekend of September.
Right.
They were off to a good start this year.
Yeah, the numbers, those are franchise best numbers too, I believe, for Nikola Jokic as well.
But he is the only player in NBA history to do it in his first 500 games.
That's insane.
Fourth down, Odell Beckham. Remember when he signed with the Rams and his $750,000 contract he took in Bitcoin?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and at the time, it was per coin $69,000. Now, per coin, it's $36,000. So if he took it all at one time, his salary now is only worth $413,000 instead of $750,000. And then there's the 50.3% tax rate. So he would have earned only $35,000 if he got paid at the end of the season as opposed to the weekly NFL paycheck.
The Bitcoin stuff still, I don't entirely get all of it.
Yeah, I, you know, kind of gotten beat up in the overall stock market the last 2 weeks or so. I haven't even touched Bitcoin. I'm like, nah, for you. Getting in there. Nope.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Connor McGahee joins us next.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee, on The Team.
With us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line from the depths of the concave, Connor McGahee. I'll have the call of the Avs and Bruins on the team tonight. Good morning, Connor. How are you?
You know what, Jimmy? It's actually the con truck today.
Okay.
We're on the move. We're on the move today.
Wheeling and dealing, moving, got things to do, people to see. Yeah. Things are going in your life. So the con truck, not the concave.
Yes. You're
calling from
the con truck is on the move.
So what kind of rig does Connor McGahee roll around
what
in, by the way?
What is the Conmobile?
Exactly.
Well, ironically, it's a Chevy Colorado. I don't know if that's ironic or not, but it's a Chevy Colorado short bed quad cab, which is one of my favorite vehicles I've ever driven.
Did you steal Jim's truck?
Wait a minute. You stole my truck. That's the truck that I drive, though. I imagine...
You do not... No way.
I have a short bed. I imagine yours is probably quite a bit newer than mine. I've got like an 05 because I'm going to drive that thing.
1971.
I'm going to drive that thing till the wheels fall off because I love that truck.
But, yeah, mine's a 16.
Yeah. So, but yeah, got the, it's the four-door, got the club cab, short bed.
Oh, yeah?
The whole nine yards. So yeah, we
whole world, Dr. Jones. You got great taste, Jimmy.
Well, right back at you, sir.
What's the color?
Yeah, what is the color of yours?
Dark gray.
Okay. Mine's just white.
It's kind of gray.
Well, it's getting gray.
It's winter, so it's kind of gray.
Paint's been fading because it's an 05, and it's probably original paint job on it. So, yeah, not nearly as sleek as yours is, sir, but we love our Chevy Colorados. And you can go over to Bozarth Miller Chevrolet. Check out their great selection of Colorados. All right, there we go. A little plug for our friends over at Bozarth.
I'm also available for endorsements for those listening.
Very good. Very good, Connor. Well, tonight mentions Avalanche and the Bruins. Avalanche continue this franchise, historic home winning streak. The win against the Blackhawks the other night, 2-0. The goaltending from Pavel Francouz, Darcy Kuemper, has just been remarkable. But I want to talk about Nazem Kadri, because Kadri's having a sensational season. Buckeye made the point that can't remember the last time that Kadri has taken a bad penalty, something that unfortunately he's been known for in the past. But he's a guy, the way he's playing right now, will be in the All-Star game. One of the three Avs go in there as far as players with Jared Bednar coaching. That the numbers he's putting up heading into free agency with an agent change, Colorado's going to have to pay a little bit to keep Nazem Kadri around, possibly.
Yeah, and man, and he deserves it because this is America, and we all love a Horatio Alger story. And I'm not saying that it's a rags-to-riches for Nazem Kadri, but it's a comeback story for him because of what he's gone through mainly in the postseason, whether it's with Toronto, against the Boston Bruins in both of those instances, and, of course, last year versus the St. Louis Blues. But for him to bounce back and play good all-around hockey. I mean, we talk about the points. I mean, I think he's on pace for 130 or something like that. My math is horrible. But it's not just the points. It's like you said. It's not taking penalties. It's playing good defensive hockey. It's being smart with the puck, and he's doing all of those things. And he's got the attention of his teammates, his coaching staff, obviously players and media from around the National Hockey League. And to me, that is what sports and really life should be all about. Like, look, if you're in a down spot, you know, have a chance to come back and show exactly what you're all about, and that's exactly what Nazem Kadri has done. And I think it's a great story this year. He's a well-deserved All-Star, and you mentioned the agent change and the amount of money that he's going to get as a free agent, and this is probably the last big ticket for him, kind of like Philip Grubauer last year in Seattle. And the question is, are the Avalanche going to be flexible enough to make it work to pay Nazem Kadri what he wants and frankly deserves? I don't know, because remember, after next season, you got to pay Nathan McKinnon as well. So there's just not enough money in the pot right now as it goes with the NHL salary cap. But we'll see. We'll see what the Avalanche are able to do in the offseason.
Avs Radio Voice Connor McGahey with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. We had one of our loyal listeners, diehard Avalanche fan, Sam from Fruita, called him the other day. And he has this one complaint about the Avalanche. And you would think right now, what is there to complain about, right? Franchise record winning streak at home, fifth longest in league history. The way Kadri's playing, the way the goaltenders are playing. He thinks the Avalanche are being too unselfish on the offensive end. Is that a fair complaint about the Avalanche right now? They're being too unselfish?
Yeah, if we are, and by the way, Sam, love it, outstanding. But if you really want to nitpick, which you can't, well, you can do with any team. Like, if you think back, there was even nitpicking going on with that 0-1 team on a number of subjects and occasions, right? And then this is a team that won the President's Trophy, won the second Stanley Cup in franchise history. And I think, yes, I think with the amount of skill and creativity that especially the top-end players for this team have, sometimes they can be guilty of that, whether it's overpassing, looking for a better opportunity than the one that you get. I think with the empty net versus Chicago the other night, that's a perfect example. I mean, both Mikko Rantanen and Nathan MacKinnon have chances to shoot it into an open net, and they try and pass it off anyhow. Personally, I never think being unselfish is a bad trait. However, when it comes to the sport of hockey, you have to take your opportunities when they come and know which one is the right one. So I think it's the double-edged sword of having so much goodness, skill, and creativity that leans into some unselfish play sometimes. And that's where Colorado has to find the balance of, okay, when do you take the shot and take the glory, and when do you pass it off and give it to somebody else?
Connor McGahey, radio voice of the Avalanche, with us today. He'll have the call tonight on the team of the Avs playing host to the Boston Bruins. So the Bruins come in with certainly the way that they've been getting some scoring, some great play lately from David Pastrnak, 11 goals, 4 assists in his last 10 games for the Bruins. Bruins have been not bad on the road, 10-5-1 on the road, 7th in the Eastern Conference right now. It's a pretty solid Bruins team. David Pastrnak, Patrice Bergeron, who leads them in +8 in 38 games a season. Solid Bruins team coming into Ball Arena tonight.
Yeah, and the age-old debate goes between their top guys, Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak, and our top line, Landeskog, Rantanen, and Nathan MacKinnon. This season so far, the MacKinnon, Rantanen, and Landeskog line, 20 more points than the top unit of Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak. But as you mentioned, they've been on fire as of late. They haven't gotten the goaltending. Tuukka Rask has come back. He went from a PTO to re-signing a deal with the Boston Bruins after being hurt to end last year to start this season. I think he's leaked at least 4 in his last couple starts. He got pulled the other night. Linus Olmark goes in. Haven't seen any notion as to who will start tonight as Boston starts off a road trip. But for whatever reason, Colorado loves to play against the Boston Bruins. I mean, in regulation, and I'm knocking on wood right now, don't worry, but in regulation, they haven't lost to the Bruins, I believe, since 2015-16. And in Boston, where the Avalanche will be at the end of next month, they haven't lost since the 90s, if you can believe that. An unbelievable run versus the Boston Bruins. And so, especially with the Avalanche really not playing great games over the last 3 or 4 and still winning all those, when it comes to an Eastern Conference opponent, maybe not exactly the defensive structure that they've seen in the past 3. I mean, we saw Montreal do the 1-4, the old neutral zone trap that the 90s New Jersey Devils used to do the other night. I'm not sure that David Cassidy, who's a perennial Jack Adams candidate, will employ that, but we will see. I think Colorado still knows that despite winning, they haven't played great, and tonight is a good opportunity to do that against one of the best teams, really, every single year in the East, and that's the Boston Bruins.
You talk about the comparison between the two lines. Bergeron, Pastrnak, who would be the Avalanche equivalent of those two guys?
Pastrnak, just because he scores so many goals, probably is Mikko Rantanen. And Patrice Bergeron, obviously the leader. I think that's Gabe Landeskog, to be honest. and he's a Selke finalist or winner, it seems, every single year for the Boston Bruins. Now, I mean, there's so many different traits even between him and Landeskog, but when it comes to the top three, those are probably the two closest between the two.
All right, 7:30 tonight, pregame, 8 o'clock faceoff, or right around 8 o'clock, the Avalanche take on Boston. And Connor McGahee joining us from his con truck, his Chevy Colorado today. Connor, have a great call tonight. Always appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
We'll do, fellas. Appreciate you.
See all right. You. Likewise. Take care. Connor McGahee.
Would that be the Chevy Colorado then?
Very clever. Very good. That's the Colorado. I like that. All right.
I am smart.
Occasionally you are. Occasionally. I'm not going to give you too much credit. It's never a good thing with you. Pump you up too much.
Everyone laugh at the funny joke.
It's like you, when you win, and what a terrible winner you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise. True. You don't take it and go, okay, yeah, that's great, but there's things I could work on.
That's a negatory to be better. Good, buddy.
You, it's, yeah, I'm the best that's ever been.
That's right.
No need to work on this. Solid. Hall of Fame caliber. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with hour three. Hopefully, I think we'll have Brian Roth. It wasn't too late last night for Brian with the Rams game. So we'll have him coming up next.